This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. Let's stay on this theme of affordability of shelter. This is an especially difficult situation now to navigate for first-time buyers. To help us take today's economic pulse, let's turn to Majora Carter, an urban revitalization specialist, a real estate developer, and a MacArthur Genius Grant recipient. Ms. Carter, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, David.
You and I were just sharing a statistic. The percentage of home buyers who are getting into their first homes plunged in the last year or so. I mean, does that worry you?
It keeps me up at night, and I wasn't aware of how much it plunged, actually. But it's also really difficult, you know, to know is that at the same time, in the kind of communities where people would be able to be a part of the American dream by buying one of those homes, that private equity is actually buying more of those and not regular people.
Now, the typical way to get a house is to borrow money from a bank, right? But not everyone has to do that. And those who don't have to go to a bank to borrow have another advantage, right? I mean, it's a little bit similar to the private equity people buying things up. They have cash on hand on the barrel head ready to roll.
Yeah, those all cash deals are predatory speculators, you know, who basically, you know, traffic in what we call low status communities. And they're the kind of communities where inequality is assumed by those who live in those communities and also those on the outside looking in. And, you know, those are the same type of places where, and you'll see, you know, lower health outcomes, lower educational attainment, and fortunately now, you know, less home ownership. But in those neighborhoods, you'll also see, you know, people who don't believe that there's much value in their community in general. And so that's why it's so easy for whether it's private equity or just general real estate holding companies to sort of like pick off those folks because they don't recognize that there's much value in those neighborhoods. So it's like, why keep this house that, you know, the grandma's had in the family for generations when somebody's literally able to, you know, close on a deal in less than a week.
You know, I'd like to say it would be ironic, though, that maybe the central bank, the Fed, is helping this. They've been jacking up interest rates in the fight against inflation. And so the multiple offer frenzies are becoming more rare than they were in high pandemic. And some of the prices are coming down. But of course, the flip side is if someone wants to buy a house, they have to pay more for the mortgage.
Right. You know, with interest rates going up, you know, and in so many of the markets where the price for homes is actually just astronomical, or I'm just astonished at some of them when I work in various places around the country. And for a regular person or a family, this is really hard. And, you know, the fact that there's not a real push to say, okay, just plain old Americans, regular Americans, how do we support them, like decrease the wealth gap, you know, to provide the opportunities for folks to be in better positions for generational wealth, which we know, you know, is the key, you know, not just to prosperity, but just the stability in American communities around the country. That really is a very problematic way that we're looking at this country and actually who needs to succeed. And I do think that we're also, you know, essentially, you know, privatizing profits and socializing the social costs, you know, of so many of these issues that we're going through.
I mean, the statistics show that some of the prices are beginning to drift down over the summer into the fall. But then when you look compared to a year earlier, the prices are still much higher than they were a year ago. So you still have, I guess, is this your experience where you work? Pretty high prices, but very high cost of borrowing now.
Yes, those two combined, you know, just literally takes people, you know, off the table. You know, another way of looking at it is it also just makes rental prices higher as well. So we're seeing those just stay up where it's just like nothing is affordable. And we're not just talking for, you know, lower income people. We're talking, you know, middle income people who are often finding that they need to, you know, have more than one, whether it's family or couple, like living in the same space. And that in and of itself should send alarms, I think, everywhere. But instead, we're just thinking, well, isn't this good? But you know, again, we're looking at like how many of these homeowners, first-time homeowners or otherwise, you know, are still in this position where they're the ones actually benefiting, like where their families are. And we're seeing that just continue to go down.
I mean, for those, I mean, you do see the all-cash offer as, I guess I'm hearing, an unfair advantage. But Majora, you can't blame the seller of a property for taking the all-cash offer. I mean, there's less risk. The mortgage can't fall through. There's no mortgage.
No, but here's the thing. We want to make sure that the seller knows what they're getting into. Like, for example, in the US, if you're accused of a crime and can't afford legal counsel, you get a public defender. The same can actually be done for property owners. So think about it. Before a real estate transaction goes forward within, you know, the community, the seller should receive legal and financial counsel. So they're fully aware of the value of their land and how to maximize it through sensible financing, you know, and just understanding they could use it to build, you know, ADUs or put their kids through college, start a business. But again, if people don't know the value of what they've got, and if they're led to believe that in those communities, there really isn't any value, they're easy prey. And we know full well that there's broad benefits for ownership going across the board, you know, in a city or our society. We know that that's well known. So we don't want to concentrate wealth in any one area too much or poverty. But unfortunately, the way that the real estate trends are going right now, that's what we're doing.
So you're saying if someone comes around the neighborhood waving cash, who can do an all cash offer, sometimes the seller doesn't have the connections or the infrastructure to fully evaluate whether or not he or she is getting a good deal. And maybe we should think about providing that.
Oh, yes. That's what, you know, private equity and real estate holding companies are counting on. You know, they're counting on folks in communities like mine. You know, I live in the South Bronx, not seeing the value on it. We've seen in our own neighborhood, the home ownership rate for owner-occupied homes, you know, go down from like a 20% or so down to less than 7%. And that was since the 2008 crisis. And most of them have been all cash deals.
Majora Carter is very focused on urban revitalization. She's a MacArthur Genius Grant recipient. And her book is called Reclaiming Your Community. You don't have to move out of your neighborhood to live in a better one. Majora, always good to talk to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.